Blind Cool Tech 93, September 1, 05. Hey everybody, I'm Larry Skutkan, and I'm here to ask a special favor of you to help the massive amount of hurricane victims. Ann Morris sent me a message today. Apparently there is a website called hurricanehousing.org, and I will play the message for you.
Forward just top, do you have a spare room, bed or couch to offer a family fleeing Hurricane Katrina? Please forward this message to anyone in the Southeast who can help. Dear Move On member, Hurricane Katrina's toll on communities, homes and lives has devastated the nation. Now victims must face the daunting question of where to go next, and we can help. Tens of thousands of newly homeless families are being bused to a stadium in Houston, where they may wait for weeks or months. At least 80,000 are competing for area shelters, and countless more are in motels, cars, or wherever they can stay out of the elements. The Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Red Cross are scrambling to find shelter for the displaced. This morning, we've launched an emergency national housing drive to connect your empty beds with hurricane victims who desperately need a place to wait out the storm. You can post your offer of housing, a spare room, extra bed, even a decent couch, and search for available housing online at http://www.hurricanehousing.org. Housing is most urgently needed within reasonable driving distance, about 300 miles of the affected areas in the Southeast, especially New Orleans. Please forward this message to anyone you know in the region who might be able to help. But no matter where you live, your housing could still make a world of difference to a person or family in need, so please offer what you can. The process is simple. You can sign up to become a host by posting a description of whatever housing you have available, along with contact information. You can change or remove your offer at any time. Hurricane victims, local and national relief organizations, friends and relatives can search the site for housing. We'll do everything we can to get your offers where they are needed most. Many shelters actually already have internet access, but folks without net access can still make use of the site through caseworkers and family members. Hurricane victims or relief agencies will contact hosts and together decide if it's a good match and make the necessary travel arrangements. The host's address is not released until a particular match is agreed on. If hosting doesn't work for you, please consider donating to the Red Cross to help with the enormous tasks of rescue and recovery. You can give online at http://movian.org or 859. As progressives, we share a core belief that we are all in this together, and today is an important chance to put that idea to work.
Okay, so I know I'm going to be making an offer of housing, even though I live much, much further than 300 miles away. I urge each of you to do the same. They may not take you up on the offer, but at least it's there, and it's a place for somebody to stay. I also urge you to donate to the Red Cross, as mentioned in this message. This is a terrible tragedy, one like our country has never seen before. And the bad news is that it seems to be getting worse. So please, consider donating a room, or money, or time. Now here's some of our other email.
Hi Larry, on a recent podcast you mentioned that your microphone stand is too light to hold a heavy microphone. I thought you might be interested in an Atma Sound DMS-70 stand. Here's a description of it. Atma Sound DMS-70 list price $43.10, your price $30.00, available from stock microphone stand black. The DMS-70 features an oversized 10-inch cast iron base, providing maximum stability for a larger studio mix and boom attachments. Adjustable height 8.1, 3 inches. I think it also comes in chrome. I have one of these and it is a very nice microphone stand. You can read about it at http://www.psuessa.com/item.aspitem.dms7e link. You can read about all kinds of microphone accessories at http://www.psuessa.com search result.asp search type category su link cat mix stand. The URL will probably wrap. The homepage for this company is http://www.psuessa.com link. I really enjoy just looking around on the site. They have all kinds of things that can be used in broadcasting and related areas. Tom Bottom.
Okay, thanks, Tom. I will check that out. That sounds like that would do the trick for us here. Appreciate the information. I will have a look around that site, too. Sounds like fun.
Hi, Larry. I was talking with someone at APH this morning because I'm considering buying a book port and she mentioned Blend Cool Tech. I've really enjoyed some of the programs I've heard and just wanted you to know. The British lady who did all of the fun Windows tutorials that NBP brailed was Sarah Morley. Sarah Morgan of Blindkiss, I think, is a different person. I'm about to buy a new Dell in September and the latest JAWS upgrade. I've finally made my peace with Windows after years of complaining about that operating system. I still use a Zap on a DOS machine. A luggable Toshiba with a 200 meg hard drive. Are there any recent copies of a Zap around? I went looking for a MicroTalk website and couldn't find one. Just wanted to write and say hi, and sorry we didn't meet up at the NFB convention in Louisville this summer. I've been working for the California Department of Rehabilitation for the last 6 years as their Braille production specialist. Love my job. Well, let me go off and fix dinner. Regards, Eric Clegg. No.
Hey, Eric Clegg. Long time no see. Yeah, good luck with the new Dell, and hopefully you'll be able to get a book port too. It's one of those tools that can really change your life. It really is. Let's see, I can probably, I'll find a place to put ASAP on the Blind Cool Tech site. It may take me a day or two to dig up the latest one, and it's not very late either, but like I was saying the other day, I actually helped somebody with an installation in Windows XP, and I was glad it worked because I wouldn't know how to troubleshoot it at this point anymore.
Larry, it's Shane, yet again. That sound is you hitting a low-hanging branch, and I wonder if you have copyrighted it. If not, I want to use it as my error sound in Windows XP. What do you think of that? You have a great podcast, and thanks for your work. Shane Jackson.
You are all free to use that sound. There actually is a link to it a couple of shows back. So that's actually a great idea. Except that it would make me laugh every time I got an error.
Hey there, Larry. I just looked at your OPML file, and I noticed that the Blind World podcast wasn't listed there. Can you add it? The URL is http://feeds.feedburner.com, Shane's original link, and I would very much appreciate it. I am one of your most faithful listeners, and I have been for several months now, and I love your podcast. All the very best to you. Shane Jackson, Hoover, Alabama.
Okay, Shane, it's in there now. I apologize. I thought it was in there already. But it's in there now, and thanks for the compliments there, my man.
Wow. What a wonderful recording. Do you realize that 20 years ago, even the most sophisticated and expensive recording equipment on the market could not have made a recording like that? I've worked guide dogs in Cleveland and trained in Manhattan, visited Atlanta and, of course, Louisville. But when that car turned in front of you, I literally jumped out of my chair. Amazing. I'm doing research for a mini podcast concerning the recording of audio during the 1957 Indianapolis 500 auto race. I know that was nearly 50 years ago, but I think your audience will be amazed at how it was done. Keep up the excellent work. And be safe out there. Please? Dick, Donna, Clayton.
Wow, that's a neat idea, Dick. Keep us posted on how you progress with that project.
Hi, Larry. I'm still enjoying your podcasts. Keep them coming. I have three questions. 1. Could you tell us a little about your new Yamaha mixer? 2. Does the Book Port come with an AC adapter? 3. What kind of sound card came with your new Sony computer? Thanks for all the information and entertainment you provide. Tom Bottom.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, this mixer, I was really amazed. It was only $99. And it's 10 inputs and 2 outputs. I don't know a lot about mixers. The last one I had was one of the old Radio Shack ones. And this one is, this one's got a preamp in it and 4 XLR mic jacks. And also associated with each of those is a 1/4-inch mic jack. It's got 1/4-inch out and in and several RCA in. And then each of the channels has 6 knobs, and 4 of them are detented, and one of them is the pan, and then there's a bass, a treble, a mid-range adjustment, and there's a gain and a level, and I'm not sure what that 6th one is anymore. There's also a filter on each of the 4 microphone jacks. Let's see, I just turned that filter off right now, and I'll turn it back on just to show you what the difference is. Now, as far as the detented ones go, let me just show you how they work. There's this one. Actually, that I should have had that in the middle right there, and I didn't. This is all the way to the left. I see why I had it in the middle now. It seems to cut out a little bit of the ambient noise in the room, so I will turn it back over to the left a little bit. This one, I believe, is the treble, and I'm moving it. No, this is the pan. I'm moving it to the right and then over to the left all the way. No, that is the treble. Okay. So that's all the way to the left with the treble, and then I'm back to the middle. This next one down is the mid-range, I believe it is, and I'm turning it all the way to the right. Now I'm panning all the way back to the left with it, and I'm all the way to the left, and then I'm back to the middle. This bottom one, or the second from the bottom one, before you get to the gain, is the bass, I believe. I'm turning it all the way to the right now. It's all the way to the right, and I'm panning back over to the left, going all the way, and I'm on the left side right now, and then I'm back to the middle. And the bottom one right here, I'm all the way to the right with it. Oh, that one's the pan, actually, it sounds like. I had that wrong. So now I'm back over to the left with it, and then back in the middle. And I can't touch the other ones because that's your output gain and so forth. But I don't really know what else to tell you about it. It's a Yamaha MG10/2. I bought it at a local music store right here on the corner, and I really, really like it. It seems very well built and very, very nice. I'm not even sure what a couple of the knobs are on it yet. I really kind of just needed something desperately, and I'm still planning on going back and learning, a lot more about it. Okay, let's get to our voicemail.
Studio recorder dot
Larry is still Quinn again. Another update. I don't think our shows are numbered right, considering that I don't believe today's show is 91, because I think we duplicated numbers along the way, because I know there's 93 links, and I know about 5 or 6 of them are website addresses, OPML files, email addresses, things like that. And I believe I have all of them, and I believe my shows total 86. I believe I have all of the shows downloaded, and I believe they are 86 shows, not 91. You must have numbered wrong in one or two or something, and then, you know, or numbered a number twice or 3-4 times. Just thought I'd let you know, and I don't know how you can remedy this, but they're really not up to 90. I know that for a fact. So, just thought I would let you know. Thanks.
Actually, I think I am. I've made the mistake again and numbered the interview with Guido Corona as 91 when it should have been 92. But the reason I think I'm correct is that I have, my database has the records numbered, and this show is 93. Now, all the shows aren't back on the new site yet. I think I put 6 of them last night, and there's probably about 6 more to go. So take that into account, too. Give me another few days, and I'll get the rest of those up there, and we'll be back to feeling complete again.
Larry, it's Jocelyn. I had to just put the thing in speech. I like call so much. I was like, what iRiver thing do you use, and is it accessible? Is it the one that's accessible with the Rockbox thing? Because if it is, I'm going to have to get it, because my RTOS is, like, broken. It's stupid. Yeah. And how much are the iRiver ones? And what I really want is ones that can do, I'm probably dreaming, but I want the ones that can do WMA files, DRM and non-DRM alike. And, you know, other things. What I really want is one whole service, one whole system that'll work with every single file out there. WMA, Real Player Music Store, iTunes, Napster. Although I think, no, Napster's WMA, so I guess it would work with that anyways, maybe. Yeah, but, and that's accessible, but I'm probably dreaming. so let me know. And have you had any experience with the iPod or similar product? Therein, iPod Shuffle or whatever. Let me know. And by the way, just out of curiosity, do you have to have a certain time limit of the deep voice? Sounds like they can't be under 45 hours long, otherwise I won't play them. I mean, they can't be over 45 hours. Well, anyways, I'm weird. Yeah, I gotta go. thanks for the answers that you are henceforth going to give. And I've made an idiot of. Where's my book part? thanks for learning. Yeah.
Not at all, Joe. The iRiver I'm using is the IFP-899, and it is not accessible with voice. It is usable, however. By the way, was that your dog I heard drinking in the background there, or was that mine? I tried to take off one of the earphones and see if I could hear him up there, and I didn't. I think you can actually probably hear a little better through these things than you can without them. I don't know which iRivers support all of them. I know the new T10 and T30 support a lot of file types and the DRM. They're solid state, no hard drive. But I don't know about the older ones. I suspect they don't, and I don't think you're going to see Rockbox on these very soon either. I did a little more investigation into Rock Box with the Eye River. That definitely was my dog. I hear him up there in the kitchen now. Where's he going? He's probably wondering what I'm doing up so late. Hey, little buddy. Who am I talking to? What's going on, dude? Yeah, say hi, Jake. Say hi to everybody. You gonna tell us hi? No, or you'll wake everybody up. I did a little more investigation into the readiness of the Rock Box on Eye River, and it's true, they have it talking, but the bad part is they don't have it playing correctly yet. So I don't recommend converting or purchasing one of those and trying to use Eye River on it quite yet. They've in fact made it so that when you boot it up, you actually select whether you want to use the original firmware or the Rock Box firmware. So, you know, if you want to play with the Rock Box and check it out, you select that. But if you really need to use your player, you select the other. I'm not sure what you meant by the limits. I'm assuming you're meaning on the calls. And I don't actually know if K7, the service I'm using, has a limit like that. I actually don't know. I think we've got a message here coming up that's pretty long. I'm not sure how long it is. So if any of you other listeners actually know what the limits are on K7.net, drop us an email or leave us a comment.
Hey, Larry, Don Barrett here. Quick question for you and a quick comment. I know you've talked about the Dvorak layout a couple times. Do you know of any tutors or tutorials that walk you through learning the Dvorak keyboard? If so, that would be real useful to mention. And then the comment was, I use Total Recorder for editing MP3 files. I know you already have a solution. The nice thing about Total Recorder is that you can edit them, and then you just hit save, and you don't have to split and join. I don't know if it would be any faster or whether you would even be interested in looking at it, but just thought you might want to know that Total Recorder, at least the professional edition for $39, lets you edit MP3 files in real time. And so it might make things easier for some folks out there who might be listening and looking for an easy way to edit MP3s. Anyway, take care. Great shows. Enjoying all of them. And I'll catch you later.
Okay. Thanks, Don. Let's see. Total Recorder. I guess my real question is, I haven't tried it. I'd certainly be willing to, though. But my real question is, does it have to decode the MP3 to edit it and then re-encode it when it saves it? That's where you're losing your quality, and that's why I decided to go with this direct MP3 splitter and joiner, because you don't actually have to decode and then re-encode. And you know, like I said, I never really noticed that was such a big deal until you kind of push it a little bit. You know, on some of the things that are clipping maybe, or some odd sounds. And maybe too, I just probably never have really listened to quite as much audio as I have been lately. As far as Dvorak goes, I would Google Dvorak space tutorial. I know there's some out there. I used a few when I was learning it. But another thing I'd be willing to do too. I actually looked for the Dvorak to the lessons that I had created for Talking Typer, and I did not find them. I'm still haven't given up yet. But I would be willing to set aside a little space on this show to provide you with the layout. I'm sure it'd probably be a little bit easier to get it in text, though. The main thing is, though, you need something, I think, like Talking Typer or some typing tutor to get get the rhythm and the patterns. I never really noticed how pattern oriented our brains work until I switched over and often switched between the two. And you know, the real common words, especially like the and .com and things like that, you don't really even think about what you're typing. You just use this pattern, and that I think learning that pattern is really important. And the only way to really learn it is by practicing, repetition. So I really do need to get those Dvorak tutorials if I can find them anywhere. I've been through 3 or 4 PCs since then. And at one time we were going to include them on the Talking Typer disc, and I don't know whatever happened with that idea. I do know that we did not do it. Alright, so let me know if you'd be interested in me trying to go over the layout with you a little bit. But I definitely will try to find those tutorials, those lessons that I created.
Hi, Larry. This is Elmer Slentz again. I just left a brief review on the prepay for T-Mobile, but I wanted to ask a question to you or any listeners out there to the Blind Cool Tech. Does anyone know or do you know of any software, accessible software for the Nokia 6010-6010? That's what came with my prepay, and I'd like to have it accessible if I could, for use of like text messages, speed dialing, voice command, or just general use so I can get the full access out of my cell phone. It's a Nokia 6010. It's a good phone. It has a regular keyboard. I don't think I'd like the round keyboards because I'm used to the straight across, 7, 8, 9, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, straight across. I like my telephone keypads conventional. So I just wondered if you have any idea what kind of software is available, if any, accessible software for the Nokia 6010. Again, good work, and I hope everybody else enjoys listening to the podcast as much as I do. Thank you, and have a good day.
All right, thank you, Eric. Yeah, I'm with you on that rounded keyboard versus a traditional phone keypad. And the only reason I got the rounded one is because I didn't want to wait the extra 2 months to get the regular one. It hadn't come out yet for this particular series of phones, but I've actually grown to, I actually like it for typing text messages. I really don't type that many text messages, though. As far as knowing anything about accessibility for this Nokia 6010, I don't know, but let's throw this out there to our listeners, and hopefully we'll get an answer from somebody that is more of a cell phone expert than I am.
Hi, Larry. This is Elmer Slentz. I'm recording from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today's Tuesday, the 30th of August 2005. I want to do a brief review, if I might, on prepay, wireless prepay, pay-as-you-go. I've done some shopping around because I wanted to use prepay, but a lot of the companies, most of the wireless companies, want for like 25 to 35 cents a minute, plus some even want pay-as-you-go, 99 cents a minute, just to have the phone, which amounts to about $30, $31 a month, even if you don't use the phone. Now, that's outrageous as far as I'm concerned. But I did find what I consider an excellent prepay with T-Mobile. T-Mobile. The website is www.tmobile.com. But I have prepay now, and just a brief description. I purchased the phone for $50 plus tax, $53, and with that I got the phone. It's a Nokia 6010, 6010, and 150 minutes, startup minutes. And these are nationwide, whenever minutes. No roaming, call it from anywhere to anywhere. So it's 150 startup minutes. Now, if I purchase $100 worth of minutes, either by a card that you insert into the phone or by telephone with a debit card, I can receive 1,000 minutes, again, nationwide, whenever minutes, for $100. That comes to $10 a minute, 10 cents a minute, rather, which is, I think, very reasonable. And I have up to a year to use those minutes before I have to purchase more if I want to take that long. So 10 cents a minute, I've never seen prepay. That's inexpensive. Another thing, if I still have a few minutes left, like 100 minutes or so, and decide to purchase another 1,000 minutes for $100, those minutes roll over. That 100 minutes roll over into my next purchase so that I end up with 1,100 minutes instead of 1,000. The previous 100 that I still had in my account plus the additional 1,000 becomes 1,100 minutes. So I think it's a really good prepay. And then all you have to do to find out the number of minutes you have left is dial star easy, E-A-S-Y, and it will tell you by recording, for instance, you have 135 nationwide whenever minutes in your account. Thank you for choosing T-Mobile to go. Just a brief review on T-Mobile's prepay, which I think is the best rate I've ever found in any of the companies that I've checked. Well, enjoy your podcast, Larry. Keep up the good work. And we'll talk at you later. God bless, and have a great day.
That is an extremely good deal on prepay. I think the best I had seen before I heard about this was 29 cents a minute, and that's a little bit on the high side. 10 cents a minute is reasonable, though. I might consider that myself. I don't really... Let's see, I think my plan right now, I'm paying... Well, it's supposed to be $39 a month for 600 anywhere, anytime, or, yeah, anytime minutes with no roaming and no long distance, and then unlimited nights and weekends. Actually, the bill ends up being about 50, though, because I added on the $4.95 T-Zone service to give you somewhat limited internet access, but it's kind of cool. I figure for $5 a month, I should know about it, and I play with it a little bit. But I think I probably don't ever use more than 100, 200 minutes a month. I really don't use my phone that much. That might be a real option for me and a lot of other people. I really appreciate the information there, and I know the other... many other blind, cool tech listeners will as well.
Oops. Hi, Larry. This is Mike Buzzboom from Vienna, Austria. I believe that the sound that you let us hear, it's the third sound in your series, is you hitting a branch as you're walking to or from work. And it was quite entertaining. Thank you. Bye.
You're right, Mike. Very good.
Hi. This is Marcia, and I love your cool tech stuff, especially your walks with Jake. And that mystery sound is Larry getting himself creamed by a bunch of branches on his way to or from work. Just thought I'd let you know. 415-586-7.
Okay, you got it. You got it. We actually got one of Guido getting creamed today, too, so... if you hadn't heard that one already, it's pretty funny. I'm sure he didn't think it was.
Hey, Larry, Don Barrett here. Boy, I hope I'm not calling too often.
Not at all.
But I had a quick question for you. Any idea why iPodder is only downloading partial files? I'll give you an example. The digital lending one you did, walking home, I guess it was on the 30th. And I got it down, and it was 20.4 megabytes and quit right in the middle. Went to your site at blindcooltech.com. Turned out it to be 26 meg file. That's happened to a lot of yours. I listened to a whole bunch. I went on vacation, took them on the book port, and they all stopped like two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through. And I'm just curious if you or anybody might know why iPodder would not download the complete file. Have a firewall, maybe that's it, I don't know. Anyway, just a thought, and maybe other people are having the same issue, so I thought I'd raise it. Thank you. Bye.
Well, I don't know that anybody's having that issue. I know I'm not. In fact, I noticed that iPotter always puts .partial extension on the file name to alert you to the fact that you don't have the entire file. Now, what I'm going to guess is happening in your case is that I happen to know you're using Windows 2000 and there's a serious issue with unplugging USB devices before the data gets completely written, although that wouldn't explain it if you had copied, say, you know, multiple files at once. It would just really be the last one. If that could be the problem, you know, I recommend waiting 30 seconds after Windows tells you it's complete. And also go into your properties on your removable drive and turn off the write caching. Let me know if that's the problem, Don. I suspect that's what it is. I'm not aware of any problem with, you know, partial downloads. I hope that helps, buddy.
Hi, Larry. My name is Judy. I really enjoy Blind Cool Tech. On your podcast you did on digital recorders, you didn't give us much on the Olympus DS2 because the iRiver microphone internally was doing a bad job on the way home. So I'm wondering if you could go through the functions of the Olympus DS2, because some of us are having problems figuring out how to erase and to use other features of it. Thank you.
Absolutely. I can definitely do that. I can't do it right this second because I don't know it, but I'll get somebody to go through the menus. I can tell you how to erase, though. If you look at the buttons on the right side of the unit, the top one is menu, and then there's a up, down, and a delete. So delete's your fourth one down. You press it, then you press the third one, which will move the arrow from no to yes, and then you press the second one to confirm. So that's how you delete one. And I don't happen to have my Olympus DS 2 with me at the moment, or I would demonstrate that for you. But it's also very important to get those beeps turned on. That's your lifeline to the Olympus DS 90.